Our second reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 2. This is the story of Epiphany, which means the revealing, when Jesus was first revealed to the Gentiles. The ones who came looking for him were called magi, astrologers and scholars who interpreted the movement and appearance of the stars, looking for meaning and direction. Now, I'm going to burst some bubbles before we hear this passage. Our biblical imaginations have, over the centuries, portrayed the Magi as three wise men, or three kings. But nowhere does Scripture say that there were three of them, or that they were all men. There is also no mention in this story of camels. But all of that is fine, because it doesn't change the story. I say this not to point any fingers, but in the hopes that we can expand those imaginations a little bit. As we listen this morning to this very familiar story, I want us to listen for how the folks react to the news of Jesus. Who is happy and who is not? This is Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, magi came from the east to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And, having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Right before the new year, right before we switched from 2023 to 2024, I posted a meme on Facebook. It was a picture of three people having an online conversation. The first person said, "I would like to wish everyone an uneventful new year." The next person chimed in with, "May we live in very uninteresting times." And the third person replied, "May you experience very precedented events." Then one of my pastor colleagues had to chime in the comments to say, "Really? In an election year with pending trials of various types and an extra day in February? Nope, we're toast." We read this passage every year or thereabouts. But the thing that struck me this year was the phrase in the middle of verse 3. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. Why would the entire city of Jerusalem be afraid? Isn't this the same child who was greeted by shepherds with praise and joy? Isn't this the same child whom angels announced with song? Isn't the promised Messiah meant to be greeted with gladness and anticipation? The Magi went to Herod because they assumed that the king of the Jews would be born to the current king, or at least somewhere in his general vicinity. When Herod was like, there's no baby here, that is when the panic set in. Because if the astrologers were right, then at some point in the future, a new king would rise up to overthrow the current system. And if you think back to our series last November, as ancient kings and empires go, Herod was not the worst. He was not the best, but also not the worst. This was probably the best things had been for a long time under Roman occupation. Sorry, my pages got messed up. There we go. So this was the best things had been since the Roman occupation. But if the astrologers were right, if there was a new king of the Jews in Bethlehem, then life as everyone knew it, good, bad, or ugly, would never be the same. And if there is anything that humans universally hate, it's the feeling of instability. Feeling like a shoe is going to drop, you just don't know when. That jack-in-the-box is going to pop, but when? Nobody knows. Thus, the blessing for 2024, the thing that so many are longing for, is captured in three words. Uneventful, uninteresting, precedented. In the same vein, there's a great viral video from the early pandemic days that's literally just a guy holding a fake press conference saying, "And in conclusion, I am sick and tired of living through major historical events. Thank you." Our survival brains are hardwired to seek out what is most familiar and predictable to us. Psychologists call it homeostasis. This seeking is often subconscious, and it is so natural for us that we do it even when the things that are familiar and predictable to us are terrible for us. So meanwhile, while everyone else is freaking out behind the scenes and Herod is scrambling to figure out where this so-called king is, the Magi are just hanging out, no idea that any of that is happening. Unlike the king and the people of Jerusalem, though, they do come with joy. They've traveled quite a distance. Some scholars estimate it took them months or years to make this trip. So they've upended their entire lives just to follow a star and bring gifts to a new king. Some scholars believe they were Zoroastrians from Persia, what would be modern day like Iran and Afghanistan. Others believe they came from the Arab world, further to the south, today's Saudi Arabia, Oman, Yemen, etc. But because they are faithful foreigners, like Rahab and Ruth, the Magi get to celebrate this new king blissfully unaware of all the politicking and panicking going on. When the star they've been following stops, the text says they are overwhelmed with joy. They kneel before him. They bring this child and his family lavish gifts, gold and perfumes that even today are rare and expensive. But then they get to turn around and go home. Y'all, we are no strangers to upheaval. We all lived through 2020. We have all, at some point, grieved the life we had planned, the life we had dreamed of, after the universe threw a giant wrench at us. But unlike Herod and his court, we know the whole story. We get to see exactly what kind of revolution Jesus is bringing from beginning to end. And we know that no election, no insurrection, no revolution, no apocalypse can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Let me say that again. No election, no insurrection, no revolution, no apocalypse can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So as we enter into this new year, with everything we know is coming and everything we don't know yet, that love is where I hope we will root ourselves. With that foundation, everything else becomes bearable. As much as I want to, I cannot promise you a stable or predictable or uneventful future. But what I can promise you, what the Magi rejoiced in, what the angels sang about, what the shepherds saw with their own eyes, is this. In Jesus, God is with us. We have read the last page, and we know that in the end, it is this love, the love that took on flesh and bone for us and our salvation, that will win out over everything else. Thanks be to God. Amen.